Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsuniversity.com. Calling in live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We've got a great show lined up for everyone today. My friend and co-host, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda's calling in live this week from Los Angeles, California. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Gina. Oh, I have been so looking forward to this show today because, you know, we're meeting some really remarkable business owners and advisors to businesses these past few months, and it's such a pleasure to be able to bring them to our audience. And I've really been eagerly awaiting bringing Lynn Hawkins to join us today. Lynn is a multiple entrepreneur owner. She owns Skyhawk Enterprises and Skyhawk Philanthropic Ventures. Wow, we're going to start the tongue over. Skyhawk Enterprises and Skyhawk Philanthropic Ventures. And we're going to be talking about not only the blending of those two, but regardless of whether we're talking about for-profit enterprises or not-for-profit enterprises, one of the keys that we're going to be talking about today is one of the underlying tools every business owner should be using. Lynn helps small business owners understand and bring social entrepreneurship into their conscious awareness and into their business. She's gotten the nickname the Money Girl, and she helps business owners move through the challenges of business development and growth by teaching and coaching them through writing or revising their business plan to really clearly seeing what their expanded business vision is and the income that it can bring. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Oh, excuse me. Thanks, Linda. Thanks, Gina. I'm so happy to be here with you today. Can you hear me okay?
We hear you loud and clear. It's wonderful.
Great. Great.
You know, as you and I were planning the show, we just want to let people know we're going to be talking about the discipline of strategic thinking in your business planning, the tools, and she's got some amazing stuff she's going to be sharing with everyone, and the uses of business planning, because there's some very specific uses that we're going to be talking about today. But before we go diving deep, Lynn, how did this come to be one of the focuses that you're so passionate about and focusing on in business?
Well, there are, and thank you for that question. There are a lot of really amazing things that I learned in my journey to this place in my life that I call really, really neat right now. And one of them was having identified that I had a strong affinity for the small business owner. My background is in commercial real estate and commercial real estate lending. And so who do you deal with on that side of the fence when you're in that arena but the small business owner? And I saw some very successful small business owners, and I saw some struggling small business owners who were struggling to maintain their incomes so that they could maintain the spaces that they were leasing. Being in property management, it gave me an opportunity to work with some of these small business owners. And from the standpoint of lending, I knew what they were missing. And I was able to really help them in that regard. And so when I got to the point where I was just like, you know, the corporate world, I am done with. And a lot of it was for me about having made people millions upon millions of dollars with the contributions that I made and the work that I did and the teams that I trained and the people that I grew under me. I felt like I was being led to it being time for me to take my business to, or me, to another level, which was starting my own business. And in doing that, I learned all the other lessons and really got to sit in the space of a struggling entrepreneur. And even in that space is where I was dubbed the money girl, because there was a passion in me and a real desire. It was my heart to share how women entrepreneurs could really do more with their businesses. And a lot of times for me, that meant just having a business plan. It meant understanding what your numbers are telling you, knowing the difference between income, expenses, revenue, expenses, and net profit, net income, all of this terminology that so many women who were in business just had no clue about and thought, oh, my God, that's another language. I don't want to learn it. And for me, it was really amazing to see the number of women who showed up to actually learn this for themselves and expand themselves in that regard. And I thought, okay. So it was really one day when I was conducting a business plan writing workshop that two of the participants in it said, you know, I have never had the way to look at money in business expressed the way that you have explained it here. And I think I'm just going to start calling you the money girl. And I thought, oh, wow, okay. And it wasn't so much being the money girl for, you know, wanting millions and billions of dollars, although that is and was my goal. It was really holding the money girl space for myself, because I knew then that that was part of my mission in life, to help women entrepreneurs to not only understand the elements of money in their business, the flow. And I love the way that this show is set up, because you're looking at the whole business side of things, and then you're looking at the internal structure that will allow bigger business to happen. And that was something that really I was passionate about. And bringing that forward into my business and some of the things that I am doing now are really a more full expression of that. And the concept that the money girl was dubbed under, and that is really teaching mainly women entrepreneurs and a few really great guys what the money aspects that cause your business to really flow and flourish are about. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, and I'm loving it.
I love it. You know, one of the interesting elements that you brought up is women in business versus men in business. And what's so fascinating, I'd love to know if you've experienced this too over the years, is what I find is men and women are equally unfamiliar with the numbers in their business. The distinction is that women will ask for help sooner. Have you found the same thing?
I have. And it was actually a guy who started the conversation that got me dubbed as the money girl. The fact that he was so enlightened with a new understanding and some real revelations around money and the thoughts that you can have, the things that you can do to expand in your business that allow money to come to you.
Yeah. So there's one element, before we get into the practicalities of things, there's one thing I would love us to spend some time talking about, and in a sense, I guess we could categorize it as mindset. And, you know, Gina and I spend a tremendous amount of time on the show talking about mindset, having our guests talk about mindset, and it's just so critical and so fundamental. And in particular, when people hear this phrase business plan, I find them going into lockdown. And among the reasons I've gotten them to verbalize is that if they write something down, they feel as if they've carved it in a steel plate and posted it out there on the side of a building, and now they're like locked into whatever they thought about. So they get stuck in perfectionist thinking, or they get stuck in, I don't even know what I want, so how can I write anything down? What are some of the obstacles that you find people have just out of sheer unfamiliarity or ignorance about what a business plan is or can be?
Well, that's a great question, and I think there's actually two. One is exactly what you explained. Once I write it, I'm stuck with it. There's nothing else that I can do. It's not something that lives to go on with me and grow with me, which is totally a misconception. It's the myth about business plans. The business plan is really a document that you have applied some energy to and will, in updating, keep the energy flowing through it. And I'll tell you, a perfect story is a friend of mine who had a holistic practice. She was working on her doctorate of metaphysics, and she was a Reiki master and just all of these amazing credentials with her. Yet she was so limited in her thinking, and the reason that she decided to work with me was because she said, I need to understand what you're talking about as far as a business plan. I've heard so many negative things about it, and that's the second thing. I've heard people say that it doesn't work, that they spent all this money to get it done, and it just, nothing happened. It sat on a shelf. It went in a drawer. And some said that it hurt them. And I said, well, you know, that's because they didn't realize what the real energy behind a business plan is all about. And one of my mentors and somebody who I follow to this day is doing some amazing work is Brian Tracy. And I heard many, many years ago an interview that Brian did about the business plan. And he said, you know, your business plan is the thing that you create, and I really promote every business owner doing it themselves. So whether you've got a $1 million business or not, you're just starting out, you want to have a business plan because it is a living document that has life because you've blown energy into it. You know, everything is energy. Why wouldn't a business plan also be that energetic connection that you have to your business that helps you and your business to grow bigger, faster, and even go beyond what you have with limited thinking put into the business plan? And I'll give you another example about that, my own story, actually. When I started my business, I had written my business plan. I was an independent commercial real estate agent. And in it, I actually decided that in year three, I was going to expand to get into business coaching and consulting and doing more to help women entrepreneurs. Well, it wasn't a year. I never thought of myself as a business coach, and it turns out that everyone that I talked to saw me as a business coach, and one of my coaches actually said to me, when are you going to stop playing around? You're a business coach. You know, you may help people with commercial real estate, but that's an aside. That is not what you are called to do. And I thought, really? And so I started getting the signals from so many places that I had a larger contribution to make in the world. And in doing so, I actually migrated into business coaching. And with that, I started with a business plan. And I actually revised my original business plan to bump up my third year goals to the first year of the business coaching business. And things were going along pretty well. I had clients. I was doing some things. And in 2012, in my third year, just about my third year of business, my son passed away. And you talk about life changing in the blink of an eye, it did just that. And I found myself moving thousands of miles across country and actually in a new family because my daughter and I adopted my oldest grandson. When my son passed away at 33, my oldest grandson at age 10 was pretty much, you know, out there, either subjected to a life that my son spent a lot of time and money to get him out of, or he could come live in the States because they lived in Japan. He could come live in the States and come and live with my daughter and myself. And we all three made that change in our lives, and life is blooming right now. We are thriving as a family, and as individuals. And I tell you about the business, when I started moving out of the fog of grief and, you know, just things settling down, it's like, what am I going to do next? I went to my business plan. And I read it, and sure enough, in my fifth year, I had planned to go to a more virtual platform because I was the queen of live. Live workshops, live seminars, live meetings, live networking, live. I was going everywhere. And I couldn't do that anymore. Things had changed. I was now the matriarch of our family. I had different responsibilities, and I needed to rework my business to allow for that time and opportunity. And so the virtual platform was right there in front of me. I had already designed it, so all I had to do was revise my business plan, go out another 5 years, and there I was set. And it really gave me the confidence and the energetic support that I needed such that things started opening up like amazing magic. And, for instance, here I am with you here today.
And we're so glad for it. Let's walk through with people what the range and varieties of, quote, business plans can look like so they understand this is not This is not a rigid object where there's only one version of it, and it's, you know, I'm getting this image of like the teacher at the front of the room with their arms crossed going, this doesn't qualify as a business plan. Well, several things qualify as a business plan.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I'm so glad you asked that, because what I talked about in my own story, I'm a very left-brain person. But what I've realized over the last several years is that I'm a very right brain person. I'm very creative. I'm very expressionistic and opinionated and artistic. And one of the things that I did not like about the corporate environment was that I could not express that part of myself. And so you have the kind of business plan that I love and adore, which can be, you know, from 20 pages to 60 pages, that is very in the various aspects of what your business holds and what you desire to do and where you're intending to head. And it really is the 100,000-foot view of going to the moon, and you're in the rocket ship, and what you know when you're taking your trip like that is that you course correct 97% of the time in order to just get to your target. So in business and with a business plan, knowing to start that you're going to be course correcting, that kind of a business plan, any kind of a business plan, is something that you should be picking up at least once a year to say, where am I in what it was that I intended for my first year? How close has that gotten me to my second and third and fifth year goals? And it brings in the whole mindset of goal setting. There are a lot of people who can't do a business plan, won't do a business plan because they won't set goals. And they think the goals are the same kind of thing, very hard and rigid. If I set this goal, this is the only thing that I can do. And you know, whatever happened to shoot for the moon, and at the very least you'll get the stars, or suppose you surpass the moon and get out into the stratosphere. And that's the kind of thing that I want people to understand about the business plan. And then you've got the whole right brain business plan, the one-pager that really is just a snapshot of what your goals and desires are and the energy that you intend to expend to get there. And I really commend anyone who can put that into a one-pager, because I'm a little more expressive than that. It would at least be five. But there are a number of ways to do that, and that's one of the things that I express to people as well, to alleviate a lot of the fear, a lot of the depression around thinking about the work that goes into it. But there are some very key elements, and the key elements, like knowing your competition and doing a comparison analysis, knowing your market, knowing your target, knowing your ideal client, those are things that, you know, even without a business plan, you want to have. Having a marketing strategy is something that you definitely want to have. But there's another element to it that recent science and recent awareness is applying in the mix that totally changes how successful people are, how happy they are with themselves, and it's really coming to light now with a lot of the things that I'm doing. I think I mentioned to Gina not too very long ago that what I've come to realize is that so much of my life has been around these two words, and two words that we're going to talk about a little more as it relates to a business plan, but social entrepreneurship. And with the knowledge that one can gain around social entrepreneurship and the experience of adding that thinking into your business, you've actually allowed yourself new markets to open into and new opportunities to show up at your doorstep.
Let's define for our listeners what we mean when we talk about social entrepreneurship.
Well, that's great because there are so many people that have varying definitions of it. Historically, social entrepreneurship was the businesses who supported family and community and local community, and they were nonprofit organizations. And they were these social entrepreneurs. And as things in the world have changed, things in business have changed. The grants world is looking more to the for-profit business and business owner to assist them in getting their mission accomplished. So the concept of social entrepreneurship has developed to include and expanded to involve the for-profit business and allows the for-profit business in that expanded process and thinking to also obtain the kind of funding that nonprofits in the past have been the only ones to obtain. So, and I say that, and let me just cut to the chase. That's grant money, that's doing fundraising opportunities that allow you as a for-profit business to retain the funds that are sometimes called free money. And you can now, what my goal is to help more entrepreneurs to think about those kinds of methodologies and incorporate those into their business planning strategies.
What's an example of that? Let's give folks an example of a particular business. And by the way, what we have planned for our audience is we're actually going to have Lynn back in a couple of weeks to talk specifically about how to get money for your business. But let's give people a little taste today of what we're talking about.
Well, you know, as entrepreneurs, for-profit business owners, we take our responsibility to earn income and to grow our businesses, as we very well should, as, you know, because it's serious business. Some may be employing or having employees. Some people may have contractors that are working for them, and it's really serious when we think about expressing our purpose and planning our next move so that we can generate the revenue that's going to support our business and ourselves, our families. The piece that we're talking about is also the giving piece, and I consider myself a spiritual person. I consider most people today either growing more in their spirituality or awakening to the fact that, and you said it, everything is energy. when I was growing up as a kid, even learning chemistry and, you know, the atomic breakdown, the breakdown of the atom, you know, the conversation was not that everything was energy. If you couldn't see it, it wasn't considered to be there, right? But yet we know we smell things in the air and we don't see those. We know that certain things happen. You know, you get that, you think about that friend and the phone rings, it's them calling you. That is the kind of energy that we don't see, but that is happening. And applying social entrepreneurship into your business allows that kind of energetic juice to begin to flow. So what, let me give you an example of that. I used to work with a wonderful printer. They employed, I think, like 8 or 10 people. It was pretty much a family-owned business, so a lot of the family members worked in the business, and then they also had other employees who they treated as family. But they did a lot in supporting local businesses and local events that were going on. They would give away, of course, it was all branded material, but they would give away notepads and pens and calendars and, you know, things of this nature, which, quite honestly, business owners use. Why wouldn't you go to your friend and be able to say, thank you for giving this to me, and then you'd be bringing your business to them? That kind of social entrepreneurship wasn't looked at as social entrepreneurship. That's been looked at as the business owner who's got some excess profits and they want to just, you know, give some things away to help out. Well, that's the underlying premise, but the concept is social entrepreneurship. Now, it goes a step farther because if you can align with a nonprofit organization and you can contribute, you know, a small percentage of your profits to that nonprofit organization, of course you want to contribute it to a cause that you're very passionate about yourself. Letting your customers and your business associates know that that's an element of your business, what do you think people might say about you and your business? Wow, I want to work with them because they take a piece of their business profits and give to this organization, which I totally support as well. And that brings more business to you from a source that you probably would not have that business from, and it was that cause that brought it to you. Now, there's yet another level as well, because you can do your own things. For instance, you do a workshop. Say you're a coach or consultant, and you put on a workshop, and it's a $1,000 workshop to attend over 2 or 3 days. And there's a certain population that you would like to donate attendance to this workshop to, because you know, number one, they would greatly benefit from it. Number two, they would even probably assist you in delivering that by maybe working the registration table or something like that in order to reciprocate that energy. But that, we're talking about $1,000. If there was a way for you to get that $1,000 to pay for your services for them to attend, that's $1,000 that you were able to get from a source that you don't have to repay, and it allows someone who you know would greatly benefit by being involved in this with you to benefit. And that is yet another way. What I do is help entrepreneurs to see those types of ways to open up their businesses to bring additional markets closer to them that they can tap into by virtue of what they're already. So I hope
Very,
that explains it a little.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I hope that explains the concept of social entrepreneurship in a little broader sense.
It does. I love it. It's really beautiful. And so if we come back to strategic planning, we've got the discipline of it, the tools you're making available, and talking about the uses. So where would you like to start off?
Well, I'd like to talk about the tools. We kind of talked about it a little bit as we were talking about the various types of business plans. But, you know, there's various ways of getting it done, too. You've got the DIY way, do it yourself. And that is what I highly recommend. But, again, there are so many who have this aversion to doing it. It's going to take too much time. I don't really know what I'm doing. If I pick up a book, will that really help me? Well, there are some guides out there that can really help you in doing this. But the way that I like to think about it is the do it with help way, the D-I-W-H. And doing it with help means that it's someone either who can review the plan that you have put together and to make sure that it is truly something that's flowing, that knows you well enough to know that it is a true expression of you and what you desire in your business and out of your business. And then they can help you to understand some of the pieces of it that may have you stuck or in question of. And then, you know, there's always the option of hiring someone to do it for you. And typically those are the ones that on the shelf get stuck in a drawer and you get this feeling of what a waste because I've spent all this money and it didn't really feel like the expression of me. And that's because it wasn't. It was the expression of your gifted exchange of dollars for something. But you really want to be so vested in it that you can feel, even when you're not thinking about it, you can feel that you are moving in the direction of your goals.
That's such an important issue because if you're not vested in it, when you roll out of bed in the morning, you're not going to keep all of your time aligned on accomplishing it. You're going to live that the dog chasing the squirrels phenomenon of seeing everything else as a bright, shiny object that's much more engaging and much more interesting. And it's sort of like the automatic self-distraction that's created.
Yeah.
You're not passionate about what you're getting out of bed to do.
Yeah. And I think the completion of a business plan is your commitment to yourself. It's your commitment to your business. And it's commitment to your seeing beyond the right now into the visualization of you, what you would like your future to be. And, you know, as we do every tomorrow, we're stepping closer to the vision of the future that we want. And how can you step into what you desire if you haven't outlined it and put it out there? There's a great NLP technique called future pacing that I use with clients that brings that picture of, you know, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10, 20 years from now, right here, front and center, in front of your face so that you can see it clearly, vivid, living color. And that's what, that's the same kind of energy that your business plan has to have in order for you to get to that quicker and get beyond it quicker. And, you know, like goals, I like to set SMART goals, but I call them milestones because goals, and you can, if you apply a little bit of energy to it, you can hear goals as being very hard and firm and, you know, this is it, this is where I'm going, this is how I'm going to, this is my goal. While it holds that strength, it also can be a block to getting beyond that goal. For every goal you set, before you reach it, you must have another goal set so that you can keep the journey going. Milestones, however, create that automatically because they are milestones. They're the stone that you stand on as you're saying, thank you for my getting here, and I see my next milestone is, and I'm on my way. and you basically stay in that place for any length of time that you choose, which may be long or it may be short. And I like to say the shorter the better, but don't stay so don't make the time so short that you don't celebrate having accomplished that milestone. Take the time to celebrate.
I love that distinction. I've never heard that distinction put that way, and I think it's absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there's an interesting phenomenon, and I'm sure I'm going to get the statistics wrong, but it's along the lines that we as human beings, we always underestimate how much we're going to accomplish in a day or a week or a month. And no, we overestimate how much we're going to accomplish in a day, a week, or a month, and we completely underestimate how much we're going to accomplish in a year. It's an interesting phenomenon. So as you're putting together a plan, if you've got these rock-hard goals, then you start evaluating whether you did or you didn't accomplish them. And if you view them as milestones, like, okay, how long did it take to get to this milestone, and what did I learn from it, and where's the next milestone? Am I adjusting exactly where I'm placing that milestone, or what it is I'm trying to accomplish in getting there? And very cool. I really appreciate your sharing that distinction.
And I appreciate you sharing that view of it as well, because that's it. That's the journey. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. So, by the way, just so people know, there, if they go to bbdnow.com/plan, P-L-A-N, we've got a couple of gifts for them there. So let's go back to talking about the tool.
Okay. You know, the one thing that I have been really blessed to have experienced was the reawakening of my creative side. And, you know, looking at how when I was growing up, I used to love to write and to draw and to paint and to sew. There were a few years of my life that I refused to buy clothes. I preferred to sew my own clothes. I could get them the length that I could get my pants the length that I wanted. I could get the jackets to be fitted the way that I wanted, and the tops and, you know, the dresses, and I made all of my clothes. And as I was reinventing myself, so to speak, and reemerging into life as it is showing up for me today, I rediscovered my love of the creative expression of art. I'm a music lover. I used to play the violin when I was growing up, and smooth jazz is my favorite music, and I went a lot of years denying myself of that expression of my heart. And I realized that there are a lot of entrepreneurs who are doing the business of creating. They're artists, they're musicians, they're the people in holistic careers and professions, and they are the workers with their hands, the kinesthetic learners and doers. And there's a different way that you can express your business plan by virtue of being that type of a person. And I love sharing that too, because there is a business plan blueprint that allows you to express your business plan visually. There are a number of visual tools that you can use to express your business plan visually. I love mind movies, and I'm not here to tout mind movies, but I love mind movies. And you can create mind movies that are affirmations. You can create mind movies that are affirmations. You can create mind movies that are the visual business plan. And I've actually helped a couple of clients to do that. It's an amazing process to create your business plan based on the visual images that go along with the words that support what you're seeing, because it is in the visual images that we connect energetically. Our brain is a mechanism that interprets. It interprets what we hear, see, think, and feel, and mostly the feeling part. What we say, it also interprets, because our brain is the vibrational house of our emotional system. And if we've got emotional attachments to, negative attachments to what a business plan can offer us, we're limiting ourselves. When you decide, and in deciding, state that decision that you will allow the opportunity of a business plan to help you to expand your business, expand your market share, expand your opportunities, there are a number of ways that that can happen. And I love the way the Directions U Vortex Planning actually helps to do that. And if you're curious about what it is that I'm talking about as far as vortex planning, Google Directions U Vortex and see what kind of information shows up. And find me. I'm happy to have a deeper conversation with you about that, because, you know, if you know anything about a vortex, it's the spin of the vortex that causes the interior, the core, to flourish, to be, do, and have with ease and in grace all that, you know, we want from our businesses. And so that is another way to approach doing a business plan.
Thank you so much for that wonderful compliment, Lynn.
You're welcome, Gina. I've actually had the awesome pleasure of experiencing that, and find that I'm very much in alignment with how that fits into the whole business planning strategy and structure.
And how has this changed, how has the vortex model of doing business changed your business?
First and foremost, it has allowed me to have a design a better methodology of delivering my programs, my products, and really me to the world. It has helped me in a very short period of time to identify the social entrepreneurship aspect of every area of my business, and how it has been such a part of my core being since the very beginning. I was able to reflect not too long ago just on, you know, how when you're growing up and every once in a while your parents will take you to somebody who's going to ask you the question, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And that really set me into a vortex of dreaming. And I dreamt back then that I wanted to be an attorney. And I wanted to do, be an attorney as it related to where people lived and what they could, what kind of houses they could build. And little did I know then that it was really a real estate attorney that I was thinking about then. But I was also thinking about doing it in such a way that I could figure out how I could help other people. And I have no doubt carried that with me throughout my entire life. Things changed tremendously as I was growing up. My home environment became very dysfunctional, and I suffered a lot of years because of that. But in coming out the other side and redefining who it is that I am, that when that revelation hit me, it was like, oh my gosh, I know now, you know, I see it now. And it really allowed me to look at some of the things that I had done, including my business plan, that contributed to my being a part of the center and allowing the vortex structure to support me and my business.
Are you okay?
And go ahead.
Go ahead.
It brought up another story of another client, a dear friend of mine who I worked with, who actually, she and I designed the vortex model for her business, and little did I even realize that that's what it was. But she's a photographer. She started her photography business deciding that she loves to do pictures of the bride and groom and weddings and, you know, everything around the whole wedding thing, but mainly the people, the bride and groom, the people at the wedding, the people at the reception. And she loved doing those events. It spilled over into other events, mainly business events, because as she was working with me, I was in those events and invited her and would have her go to those events. And she started really liking that. And then she discovered she loved doing portrait sessions. And then she discovered she loved doing kids' class picture sessions. And then she discovered she loved taking photographs of pictures and flowers. And I have to tell you, some of those pictures are better than ones you see in the magazines.
Wow.
And we were able to structure a program where in the center it was her. She wanted to coach photographers. She wanted to coach new photographers. So it was her high-end coaching program. And on the outer ring were her services, and on a further outer ring were all the things that she was doing as networking, and on a farther outer ring were the people who were referring her, who were actually saying, I just had a session with Julie, she was absolutely fabulous, you need to use her. And she did a lot of blogging too, so they were able to use her blogs to put on their websites that drew traffic to her. And I tell you, I had no clue that that's what we were doing, but it is the perfect model for business building and business growth.
It's really true, and helps both you gain clarity and give you a framework for making decisions in your business, but it also is something that's customer-facing or prospect-facing at the same time. So it helps them make more sense of what it means to do business with you at the same time, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It makes it very clear. And, you know, I go back to energy, and energy likes clarity.
Sure does.
Of course, likes clarity. There's a strong, free flowing of energy when the landscape is clear. You know, things can't find you in the fog. You can't find things in the fog of confusion and chaos and clutter. And, you know, and that's what the business plan brings to a lot when it comes to business. There's clarity that's defined, and it really centers, is the center with you in that vortex that allows so much to happen.
Yeah, it really does. Really, really does. And, you know, I created the vortex model of doing business because I couldn't find anything like it. And I was studying other examples of successful businesses. And if you really think about some of the biggest, most successful businesses, they all have a vortex to them. They may not call it that. It's my languaging of it. But I think that's what's allowed so many companies to become successful. If we think about companies like Apple and Google, they all have a vortex, don't they?
They do. Many call it their 360-degree model of success. And I think mainly in the corporate world, we hear the 360-degree view. I know that it even went into, you know, how do you review an employee? Well, it was very linear and biased when it was just the boss and the employee. But when you get the feedback from others who work with this individual, you can see a much broader view, and you have an opportunity to support that person in a strong, from a stronger position, because you have a better picture of what their strengths and weaknesses are, and it is truly the energy of the flow, the circular flow.
It really is. So let's talk briefly about some of the projects you've got going on within Skyhawk Enterprises. What's in store for you the rest of this year?
Oh, my gosh. I am one of the most exciting things that I have ever done in my life. I am in the throes of right now. And that is a book series, a permission guide books. But even more than the book series, it is the first book that is the catalyst for a movement, a global movement that I am so excited about. It's called the Permission Movement. And the first book in the series of books is called The Businesswoman's Permission Guide, and it is, I'm giving myself permission to be powerful. And, you know, many of us talk about how I'm giving myself permission, or you should give yourself permission to join in this program. Give yourself permission to write your business plan. Give yourself permission to be open to this thing that you're trying to manifest. Give yourself permission to breathe. And that is, in fact, what this movement is about. There are so many women and men and young girls and boys who have had life to impact them where they are relearning or just learning that they have the ability to give themselves permission to be more powerful, to be of the mindset, I am a winner, versus the bullies bullying me and it's okay, or there's nothing I can do. And this first book is a group of 20 women entrepreneurs who are telling their story of reaching a point of success and identifying the place or places where they've given themselves permission to step up to the next level. And what's key about the book is that they're sharing at least one tool, technique, strategy that they have used that have helped them. And then the book is being developed into an outreach program that is going to reach, we're starting with groups of girls and women, girls from the Boys and Girls Clubs to Scouts to girls in juvenile detention, women incarcerated, women who are transitioning out of incarceration. And it's this group that we want to reach with these stories of success and garner the thought process and teachings of hope. And those women and girls will have an opportunity to submit their stories and potentially be published in their series of books called Permission to Win. And I'm so happy that we've had the awesome opportunity to align with Directions U Press and Motivational Press to get the book series and the first book done. I'm really excited about that. And that's the
biggest thing. As are we,
Lynn.
It will officially be the very first book published by DU Press. What a great book to be our first.
Wonderful. I am so excited about that.
And you know, to tie this back quickly to something you said earlier in the show, this is really an example of social entrepreneurship, is it not?
It is, and I was just about to say that as well. It is truly an example of social entrepreneurship. And I'll tell you, there are a couple of ways that we've actually are moving in the social entrepreneurship market with this. We will be using the book to actually move the movement. Each of the co-authors has developed a signature speech around the permission to be powerful and the permission movement, and have aligned it with their business, bringing opportunities to their business because of it. We've actually identified the platforms of radio and television that each of these entrepreneurs will be able to get exposure into, opportunities into. And as you and I both know, that's one of the greatest mediums of having your messages heard.
Really?
Yeah. One of my goals in creating this program was to do just that for these women entrepreneurs, to help them grow their businesses by adding this element and participating in what we all consider as a very, very important mission, moving this movement through a global viral awareness and allowing people the opportunity to be awakened to what giving themselves permission to mean.
Well, as you know, Lynn, my mission is to touch the life of every person on this planet. It's a mission that I can't possibly accomplish on my own. But working with you and your 20 co-authors, these wonderful women that are really going to make a difference, through groups of people like you guys, together we really can touch the life of every person on this planet. And in such a meaningful way, and it still at the same time grows your business, each of their businesses, and my business. We can do things that just make us money, or we can do things a little bit differently, make a difference first, and we end up making more money than we could ever have done just going out and selling a bunch of stuff. That's why I love social entrepreneurship so much.
Thank you as well. And I love the fact that more and more people, as they become aware of how it can work and how it can benefit the world, are really trying to figure out what they can do to incorporate it into their businesses and their lives.
Absolutely. Before we run out of time, I just want to let listeners know that they can find you by downloading a copy of your guide at bbdnow.com/plan. bbdnow.com/plan. So, Lynn, what advice do you have for our listeners today?
I have only one really, really big thing that I'd like to leave with the audience today, and that is, whether you have a business plan or not, you want to have one, most definitely, whether it's a short one, you know, 5 pages or 55 pages, doesn't matter as much as it matters to have something that you know what you want to do in your next 3 to 5 years of your business's existence. And then apply an element of social entrepreneurship. Think about, you know, go in your heart and think about what is it that you can do that helps you to do a little more in the world that you know will open some doors for you in the long run. And, you know, social entrepreneurship isn't the kind of business that you do expecting rewards tomorrow, but you can expect, and the rewards will come. And they'll be greater and more abundant than you can even imagine. So when you hold that thought, when you hold that in your strategy, you'll be able to see some things really happen.
Thank you so much for that, Lynn. And Lynn will be joining about 24 faculty members at DU to teach our students and our clients about the concept of social entrepreneurship and to really help them apply it in their business. So if you're still struggling with social entrepreneurship after all the great advice Lynn has shared, come check out Directions University and we'll get you in touch with Lynn. In fact, Lynn, you're in our community on Google+, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, we can just tell them they can go to askggg.com/forum. That's askggg.com/forum. And come join the community and get in touch with Lynn if you've got questions about it. It's probably one of the most dear and near to my heart concepts that we teach at DU, Lynn.
I love it, Gina. I really love it. And I appreciate DU and the DU community so much. beyond words. Thank you for all that you've done to get it started, and it's really grown wings of late as well.
It really has, and thank you for playing a role in it, Lynn. Linda and I will be back next week, same time, same place. Have a fantastic week, everyone. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Lynn. See you all next week.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.